Well, greetings in Jesus' name. Our next subject here is on the Christian greeting or the holy kiss. I have several Bible verses here, and I thought maybe I could have some volunteers just to read those. There's not that many. The first one we'll look at is Acts chapter 20, verses 36 and 37. Who would like to read that? Raise your hand, Brother Colby over here. Next one, Romans 16:16. Volunteer for that, Brother Simeon. 1 Corinthians 16:20, Brother Noah. 2 Corinthians 13:11-12, Brother Leroy. And 1 Thessalonians 5:26, Brother Abner. And 1 Peter 5:14, Brother Diane. Okay, just stand and raise your voice real nice and loud. Okay, in the first one there was just kind of something that it's telling us what happened in Acts there. And the others were all something that Paul had written except what Peter said. And so the question today might be, why would we practice this kind of greeting? Quite simply, the Bible tells us to. I think we could conclude with that. Don't know that a whole lot more would have to be said, but I suppose we'll think about it a little bit more. So wasn't it just a cultural thing? It could have been Jewish, but it wasn't Roman or Greek. That wouldn't have been a common greeting for them. So why it may have been Jewish, that, see, at least three out of these five exhortations here are given to Gentile churches. And I'm guessing the other two were written to a mixed people as well. So, very likely, all five directives were given to people, at least some of the people, that wouldn't have used this as a regular way of greeting people. And on top of that, we're called to have a Bible culture within the culture or the society that we live in. So if it was cultural and it was something important enough that Paul mentioned it four times and Peter once, I think it's something that should become a part of Bible culture. Something that we do because of the Bible, not because of the pressures and the norms that are around us. And we're called to be a peculiar people, aren't we? Doesn't Peter tell us that? A royal priesthood? Something different? It would be very unusual for a society of this world and its worldly values and philosophies and everything that it has to embrace and practice all Bible commands. That would be quite unusual to have that kind of society. And I'm supposing we live in about as close to that as any generation ever has. But we would expect most societies to be quite deviant from what the Bible teaches. So I think it would be good for us to settle in our heart that if we want to be real Christians, we're going to be different. We're going to be unique. There's something special about us, something different in the way we relate, in the way we dress, in the way we act. Everything about us should be unique, different. So it shouldn't be surprising to us if we have some things that we do that are different than what the society around us would expect. So yes, I believe it is cultural. Not a first century culture, but a Bible culture. I don't think it was a first century culture, but simply something that the Bible promotes and that we should follow. So what about occasion specific? You know, Paul also says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. So can we all do that now? Obviously not. They are gone. So that was maybe a more occasion-specific command that, or exhortation that was given. And we could throw the holy kiss or the Christian greeting in with that if we were looking for excuses. I suppose we could do that. But everything, I'd say pretty much everything that Paul said was then occasion-specific about marriage, about unity, about excommunication, about lawsuits, about the head covering. Everything was about right then the people that he was addressing or that he was talking to. And so if we take that approach to it, then the Bible, the whole New Testament, is stripped of its authority. It just leaves it meaningless, really. So what about, isn't it a bad witness or light in our society that's now quite accepting of homosexuality? You think, well, it might be a bad testimony or bad witness. And I believe as Christians we should abstain from all appearances of evil. But I find it very hard to believe that a brotherly greeting would put anyone under the impression that something sensual is going on. I just don't think so. It's very different from that. It just doesn't. There's something holy about it, like the Bible says. Well, our list of objections could really go on quite a long ways, but we're not going to look at every one of them. The bottom line is that God tells us to do it, and we should lay aside our arguments and just simply obey. Some Bible scholars have tried to improve things and help us out a little bit. The Living Bible says that shake hands warmly with each other. The easy-to-read version says give each other the special greeting of God's people, but it stops and doesn't tell you what the special greeting is. I think they should have done us the favor of telling us what the special greeting is. So it might be easy to read, but I'm not sure it's easier to understand. Another thing, I think it's a very appropriate greeting for someone very special. Our brethren, those that have together with us sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's very appropriate. a special people with a different value system than what the general populace has, belonging to a different king and a different kingdom. A special greeting for them seems good and right. It even seems like it should be that way, right? It is a token of love, care, and appreciation. And if those things are lacking, I think it, every time we greet a brother or sister we have a struggle with, I think it's a reminder that we have some work to do. We need to meet and talk a little bit. It's a reminder if things aren't as they should be. There's always another argument that we didn't look at about being a hypocrite and greeting people that we really don't like. Well, if that's the problem, we're being a hypocrite in calling ourselves a Christian, I suppose. Okay, another question. Who should we greet? Just anyone? In Thessalonians 5:26, we read that all greet all the brethren. So there's a command for greeting all the brethren. And then we have to ask the question, of course, who are the brethren? And if it is a special greeting for God's children in His church, I think it could bring confusion if things are too open-ended, if there's just too much looseness in the matter. While membership and excommunication are clear statements of in and out, I think the Christian greeting or the holy kiss is also a token that we believe we're together. We're convinced that we are united. We're one here. I believe we should greet brethren, when I use the term brethren, I'm also meaning the sisters in the Lord. And I'll be a little more clear on that here in a minute. Brethren who are baptized, submitted to a local body, and share similar Bible values. I think those are the ones that we share this Christian greeting with. How could we greet with a kiss of peace those that are clearly disobedient to the Bible? You know, can we really have true fellowship with those that are going to a church where the Bible is being disobeyed, where divorce and remarriage and all kinds of different things are being practiced and accepted? I wouldn't think so. It seems like that would be going outside of the close-knit communion and fellowship of those that we greet with the holy kiss. Another thing, it doesn't say greet the ministers with a holy kiss. It says all the brethren. Some churches have a practice of only greeting the ministry that way. Everyone else gets a handshake. And I think it's very biblical and very appropriate for the others to greet as well, not just the ministry. All the brethren. Okay, so how? How should we greet? Well, one, it says it's a holy kiss, so of course it would be in a holy way. It's a token of love that is holy and pure. The brothers should greet the brethren, and the sisters should greet the sisters. That I think we understand quite clearly, but it's good to just state it. We don't believe in greeting the opposite gender with a kiss. And also, I think it's good to have a little bit of practical direction in this matter. My lips, kissing my lips, that's reserved for my wife. I don't think it's really appropriate to kiss on the lips. And also, what about big wet kisses? Well, and I'm just trying to be practical, and I believe a cheek-to-cheek kiss is appropriate. My children don't kiss me on my lips. I like kissing them goodnight. I like when they kiss me goodnight, but that's not okay. And there are places in the world that they still practice kissing as a greeting. Sometimes it's on just one cheek, sometimes it's both. You know, they do one side, then the other. And in those situations, nobody stresses on whether they plant a good solid kiss on the cheek or not. It's a greeting. It's not necessary to make sure that there's this complete contact made, if you will. So anyway, just a little bit in practical direction there. Kiss on the cheek. Trying to remember now. I think it was Clement of Alexandria that mentions that in some of his writings. He felt like it was also some of what was going on was less than appropriate, and so he asked them to kiss with a closed lip kiss. Pinching your lips together more. I don't know exactly what all he meant by that, but I think I can get the idea. So anyway, when? Another question. When should this greeting be practiced? Well, I think when the church meets, I think that's a wonderful time to practice this greeting. And maybe when we haven't seen a brother or a sister for a while, we meet maybe from another state, or maybe from a long trip or something. It seems quite appropriate, but I wouldn't really consider it necessary every morning when we get to work greeting each other with a kiss of peace. Now, I'm not opposed to that, but I wouldn't say it would. I think it's more a greeting of when God's people meet and when there's a special fellowship and interaction around the throne of God. So that's just my thoughts on it. No problem if somebody wants to exercise it more than that. I'm just giving some a little bit of direction, because sometimes we're in a society where this isn't practiced, and therefore it can seem kind of awkward and strange, and what's okay and what's not okay, and how to go about this. So anyway, I just thought it would be good to give just a little bit of practical direction on the matter. But again, I'd just like to state that the Bible tells us to do it. Let's do it. Let's just obey the Bible and follow that which we have been told to do. All right, well, the Lord bless you.